From KRCB in Santa Rosa, it's Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour with Michelle Anna Jordan.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out there.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Mashed potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Interesting weather, huh? Gosh, the beautiful, almost tender light in the morning, you know, coming through the dark clouds and snow in Northern California. That's an interesting thing. Anyway, it's a good time to think about wood fires and brick ovens and cooking all kinds of things in that situation. And so I get to finally welcome James Berry of Forno Bravo to Mouthful.
Michelle,
thanks for being here.
And it's great to meet you. We've had a 2-year email relationship and now we finally get to meet.
Yeah, you were living in, I think when we first started corresponding, you were in Florence, right?
Yeah, we were there for 2 years. The first year we were in San Gimignano, cute little village with the towers. And that's when I first started writing you that we were thinking of getting starting off a brick oven company. And then the second year, we moved actually into the city of Florence to be closer to where our two daughters were going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you've come back to Healdsburg.
We're back. We've been back for 6 months. And it started off as a sabbatical. I'm a former Silicon Valley guy, and we wanted to do a sabbatical, so we went for the first year and enjoyed Italy, and we enjoyed the food, and I had been an enthusiast. I'd built brick ovens in my backyard, and I actually have one in the house and one in the garden, and I had the thought in the back of my mind that we might want to take this hobby and sort of turn it into something bigger, a business that would be dedicated to brick ovens. And about a few months into being there, it became real clear that we weren't going to come back after 1 year, and our sabbatical turned into two. And that was when we decided that we would get serious and do the brick oven business.
So how's it going?
Oh, the business is going real well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things I think's interesting about brick ovens is how common they are culinarily to the Italian backyard. There are literally millions of brick ovens in Italy.
And when I was in Sicily last year or the year before, I was amazed. There were so many. And they were really old.
They
weren't like Chi-Chi new things. They've been there a long
exactly,
time.
Exactly, yeah. We have all these funny ways that we count. One of them was that our daughters got invited to birthday parties. And of the first five family kid birthday parties we went to, four of the five houses had brick ovens.
And, you know, it was common. My understanding is it was common in California like 100 years ago. There's remnants of old brick ovens.
And adobe ovens.
Adobe ovens. Like in Dry Creek Valley, Calaveras County,
yes,
a whole variety of places.
And there's a lot of European-style brick ovens on the East Coast, which is the, you know, basically people immigrated to the States and they brought the ovens that they were familiar with and they built to the style that they were familiar with. Now, here's an interesting one. The renaissance of brick oven cooking in Italy started not until the late late 1970s, early 1980s. And the way the story was told to me is that they called them the American oven, which is in the aftermath of World War II. Italy started to industrialize, and everyone started putting in the little white box oven that, you know, everyone has always had in their house, so that through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, you know, Italy sort of, quote, got modern. And then in the late 70s and the early 80s, grandmothers started sort of talking to their kids and saying, you know, this, you know, we have to get back and start using the brick oven again, and we have to – so the way it has been described to me, the modern brick oven sort of started rising up at that time period. And there's this whole renaissance of families now that are – Italian families mm-hmm. that are putting in new brick ovens. There's a room called a rustica, and it's sort of this downstairs playroom, and they all have a brick oven, a fireplace, you know, a foosball table, and it's this big party room. And, mm-hmm. and huge numbers of new brick ovens are going in the Italian market.
We need more party rooms, I think. I think that's a really good idea. You're making me want to put a wood-burning a cooking oven
yes.
in the room where I have my jukebox.
Oh, well, that's
the perfect.
But we're gonna put one in your backyard, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we still have to finish that.
Yes,
off.
Yes. I've cooked in a brick oven on several occasions, not yeah. a lot, and not for large numbers of people. But I know the first time I cooked on one, it was over in Sonoma, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, in that no one had instructed me or anything; it was just purely intuitive.
Right.
And things turned out so beautifully. It was yeah. just such a great source of heat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so a second on just roughly the way a brick yeah. oven works. A brick oven is, well, it's a brick floor with a brick dome. They're round. They're a parabolic, actually. So it turns out that the heat is bouncing from the heat source, a fire inside the oven, and the heat is bouncing off of the dome evenly down onto the cooking floor. So the material that's in the brick oven, the shape of the brick oven, it's all time-tested over, you know, literally thousands of years. You light a fire inside the oven, and the material inside, the refractory material inside the oven, is absorbing heat. And what it's doing is it's taking moisture out of the wood. It's taking moisture out of all the food that you put into the oven so that you end up with a naturally high heat, moist environment that that has natural convection going mm-hmm. on it. Mm-hmm. So essentially you're cooking a little hotter than you would in a normal oven, but in a much moister, delicate environment. Mm-hmm. So bread and pizza and fish and the things that you think like high heat and moist do really well in a brick oven.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen, I think, two different types, and I don't mean structurally.
Right.
Certainly there's a lot of those. But I've seen them where the fire is going while you're cooking,
yep.
and I've also seen them where you build the fire and heat it up and then scrape everything out.
Two styles of cooking, and okay. you can do both in
the same oven.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, there are two types, and it's probably worth mentioning that there are brick bread ovens and there are brick pizza ovens or brick bake ovens. A bread oven is a very big, heavy item whose goal in life is to bake lots of bread.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in my backyard. It has 9.5-inch thick walls. Takes hours to heat up. Once it's absorbed heat, it does a fabulous job of baking bread. You can do 3 batches of bread. I have this oven in my backyard where you can literally bake 100 loaves of bread in an afternoon.
Wow.
You got to heat it all morning. Yeah, you know, it likes to live at about 500 degrees.
That's probably something you wouldn't do every day.
No. Well, think about it. Right, exactly. Whereas a pizza oven, mm-hmm. an Italian-style oven, they're round and they're a lot thinner. The if you make a brick oven, you would make it anywhere between 2 and 4 inches thick in the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas a bread oven or even a really old fashioned brick oven that you'd find, let's say, in the countryside in Tuscany could take 3 hours to heat up, which still is a pretty strong commitment mm-hmm. to cooking
yeah.
dinner. The new ones, the modern ones, they heat up in maybe 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And they don't. Their goal in life is to get to 750 degrees,
uh-huh.
which is where you really want to cook pizza, not 500 degrees where you want to cook bread.
Okay. Now, does everyone agree that 750 degrees is yeah. where you want to
okay,
cook pizza?
Okay, so I get to bring my thermometer out. Okay, so there is a group called the Verace Pizza Napolitana Association, and these are the folks in Naples. They're kind of the pizza mafia. They
are they the ones who certified certifies exactly. the chefs, like A16
exactly.
is certified
exactly.
in A16.
Well,
I should say,
and it turns out that there are two or three different agencies that certify. This is Italy. Nothing.
Is
everything's
Italy.
Complicated.
Yes.
Exactly. But yeah, there's the VP, you know, the Verace Pizza Napolitana Association, the VPN, and you probably have seen their logo. There actually is a second, Pizza Napolitana licensing uh-huh. agency. The company that trains all the pizzaiolos, which is Pizza Consulting IT, is different than both of them. They say you have to cook pizza at 900 degrees, 905, 910. If it takes more than 60 to 90 seconds to cook your pizza, it's not Pizza Napolitana.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's thin. Uses a special pizza flour, which we can talk about in a mm-hmm. minute, puffs up around the cornice real nicely. It's a very moist pizza.
Yes.
It uses mozzarella di bufala, mm-hmm. of some of which I have right here. So, yeah, that gets me back to my infrared thermometer, which is accurate to 930 up to 932 degrees. But yeah, so yeah, you can. I walk into restaurants all the time, and I'll go into people's brick ovens, and I'll take my little. See, you're 81, you're 83, yeah. So yeah, you can. You can walk into restaurants and see how hot their ovens are. Mm-hmm. My view is that in your backyard, certainly you want to cook 700, 750 uh-huh. degrees. That's a 2 minute pizza. It's a 2 to 3 minute pizza.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, in your backyard.
Okay.
I mean, you can get a modern brick oven mm-hmm. up to 750 degrees, 40, 45 minutes, mm-hmm. 5, 6, 7 sticks of wood. It's kind of like a, you know, a Weber barbecue. I mean, it's really mm-hmm. not much longer than that. But cooking pizza at 500 degrees and, you know, 7, 8 minute pizza, the pizza dries out. It gets real tough. A 2, 3 minute pizza is perfect.
Oh, you have just shed so much. You've answered so many questions. You have no idea.
Mm. Okay, but can we talk about bread for a second?
Sure.
I got into brick ovens through bread. Pizza and grilling and all that, for me, came later. I was a bread guy. I still bake, you know, 2, 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Your oven gets up to 750 degrees. All the refractory material up there, refractario aluminoso, right? That's what the Italians make these things out of. They rifle up to 750 degrees. And then you rake the coals out, close the door. Let it relax for a minute, 40 mm-hmm. minutes, 45 minutes. The oven is gently falling from 750 down to 550, and it's just starting a long, slow curve. Mm-hmm. The ovens will be 325 degrees the next morning, so all they're doing is just slowly
cooling
off. Uh-huh. And
it takes about an hour for that?
Yeah, I did. Uh-huh. I did a whole bunch of loaves of bread the mm-hmm. other weekend, and I think I got it up to the oven up to 725, mm-hmm. and then I waited an hour. And
okay, so you could make pizzas.
I raked all the coals out.
You could make some pizzas for dinner, and maybe even throw in a roast, some sort of roast that you might want to cook at high heat.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, two hours later, you're ready to bake bread.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, you know, you could even come in the next morning and do muffins at 325. They literally hold that much heat.
The smaller ones.
Yeah.
That's
the little backyard one. A little backyard one, like the one that you want to put in. Uh-huh. It will hold enough heat to bake 10, 20 loaves of bread just without a hitch.
Cool.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they say.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a guitar and a.
You're listening to Mouthful, and my guest this evening, James Berry of Forno Bravo. And, you know, if you're the kind of person, if you're listening on your iPod or on your computer and you want to engage your eyes as well, you can go to fornobravo.com. That's
yeah,
right.
www.
Yeah, and you
yep.
can look through. We're going to be going through, you know, a lot of things that are on the website, not just the ovens. And I'll be giving all the contact information, including the local Sonoma County location where you can actually go and look at the ovens and the other products that James James is bringing in from Italy by appointment. So we'll be giving all that information at the end of the hour, as we always do here on Mouthful. So get your pencils, get your paper. James, you're opening things, and that sounded really good, that can you were opening. Do you want to tell me what's in it?
Yeah. So once you get into brick ovens and your pizzas start getting really good, then you come to, I think, to quickly realize that with pizza, it's the quality of the ingredients is what makes a great pizza. Mm-hmm.
And we should say, just for someone who hasn't had pizza in the Palermo airport
Naples.
Or something.
Naples.
Who thinks pizza is something that, you know, like thick and it has a bunch of cheese and it has crust with cheese stuffed into it and all kinds of heavy ingredients and it ends up being about an inch thick.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about.
That's
something with a very thin crust that when you get it right, it's one of the most wonderful things you could ever eat.
It just is. Exactly.
Yeah, it just is.
If you think about a pizza, I mean, what is a pizza? A pizza is you know, a disc of dough, tomatoes, cheese, and olive oil, and a little oregano. I mean, a margarita. That's it. There's only five things there. So what I kind of came to realize is that the ingredients of what you're using suddenly become so important. So we started searching out ingredients. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that the one thing that everybody in Naples does agree on is that there's one pizza flour from one mill, Molino Caputo, which is the oldest mill in Naples, that they all agree that that's the best pizza flour.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that makes them all agree?
It's milled specifically to be pizza flour.
Okay, how for people who are there, huh? I thought flour is flour.
Right.
Is it possible to compare it to, say, all-purpose white flour?
Let's do it. Exactly. Okay, so like on one side, you've got a really nice bread flour, Giusto's or King Arthur, right? Mm-hmm. Great bread flour. Mm-hmm. When you make a pizza out of an American bread flour, it's has a great deal of gluten, and the gluten isn't extensible. It doesn't stretch quite the same. Mm-hmm. It's heavier, definitely heavier. If you make a pizza out of all-purpose white flour, it's saggy, right? It's you know, you make the pizza and it kind of droops and there's no body. So what this flour is milled to do is it sits right in the middle. It has a lower gluten than an American bread flour, mm-hmm. certainly more than an all-purpose flour. It's Italian tipo 00 flour that everybody talks about. And what they do is they select the grains that they use. They buy grains from all over the world. It's not Italian flour. The grains come from everywhere. But they select them based on how extensible the gluten is. So now what you end up with, see, I brought some dough for us here.
Yes.
The dough was in the back of my car. Oh, here, go for it.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to pick. Oh, it feels
silky.
Really good.
So it's silky. It's stretchy. So a good pizzarolo can get that into the perfect pizza wheel, right, in 10 seconds. He doesn't touch it. He's not bruising it. The dough is so it stays. Look, you're beautiful. Oh, you're doing great.
Yeah. And it's
– if we had a brick oven, we'd be eating in 2 minutes. Look at that.
And
you're doing great.
It stretches
no
really
holes,
thin
no tears.
Without it. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is gorgeous. Oh, my gosh.
Look at that. You're
that
great
is
with dough.
Well, you know, I ran a pizza parlor, but that was in a previous lifetime.
That's another story. Okay, so that's the
that
dough.
That is awesome. Okay, you have my endorsement.
Well,
this is fabulous flour.
So when we started off, this flour was only available in 55-pound bags to restaurants. That was it. And hardcore people like me bought it, and other people all around the country bought it. And eventually we convinced the mill, now it's available in the little 1 kilo bags, so you can buy it and use it at home.
Excellent.
Yeah, that was just a lot of fun. We met everybody at the mill, and they're great people, and mm-hmm. the flour is wonderful. They say there are 1,500 pizzerias in urban Naples, and more than half of them use that flour.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, and then I on the way here, I stopped at Trader Joe's, just on a long shot. I thought sometimes they have it.
Yes.
So they have mozzarella di bufala, which is the the buffalo milk mm-hmm. mozzarella. And if you go up to Forno Bravo on our website, we have a photo series of the production process.
Oh,
right from the we stayed at an agriturismo right where the buffalo farm was.
Mm-hmm.
So they have 800 water buffalo, and they milk them, and we just track the whole thing. We have photographs of the buffaloes. We have photographs of the guy milking, and then they make all this beautiful cheese by hand. You know, if you're there, no pasteurization, no nothing. This what I got. It's clearly pasteurized.
Right.
I think it was probably frozen, but it's good for 10 days. I think after you buy it. And we found it at Trader Joe's like last week, and we've already been eating it. And I don't know if you want to eat while you're on the radio, but anyway, sure. So that's that. So that's really good.
But now the ingredient that goes on first, once you do that lovely stretching
right.
with the dough,
is the tomatoes. Not olive oil. You right. finish with olive
you
oil.
With
yeah,
olive
a lot of people put olive oil on the dough, and actually you finish with olive oil. Okay, so the
Can
story.
I look?
Please look. Yep. So the story behind these is they're called San Marzano tomatoes, and they are a DOP, which is a Denominazione di Origine Protetta.
They're the real thing.
They're the real thing. I talk with the guy who imports them. He's this big American company that you know, one of the bulk importers. The real San Marzano is 0.05% of the Italian tomato harvest. 0.05%.
Wow.
But they're regulated by the government, so they have to be picked by hand when they're red. And each plant, they say, is picked 5-7 times in the summer, mm-hmm. you know, instead of a big machine going through and
right.
picking them when they're green and gassing them to make them go red and all that stuff.
Yep.
So these things are picked by hand, and the plant, you know, they literally pick each plant, and they're whole. Look.
They're whole.
They're
whole. Beautiful.
They're red. They're red as red.
Very red.
Really low seed count. Like really low seed count.
Oh.
And look how
that's pretty amazing.
And if you just do this, you see? See, what you make your pizza sauce, I use a potato masher.
Yeah, you literally crush these things
right.
up. You're not making what...
You're not cooking.
You're not making pizza sauce.
Exactly.
You're crushing up
exactly.
some
And like tomatoes. Like a lot of really good food products, there's nothing in there. It's tomatoes, juice, basil, tiny bit of salt.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's it. If you were making a pizza in the mm-hmm. summer in Italy, in Naples, mm-hmm. would you still be using these tomatoes? Or no. would you be using fresh?
I think the pizzerias probably still use cans mm-hmm.
What about at home?
In the summer. Oh, at home you'd just, yeah, definitely
you'd use
go fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you use a mill, you know, to uh-huh. kind of keep the skin and more of the seeds behind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, food mill, a circular food mill.
Okay, so you put those, you crush them with a potato masher.
So you crush them, salt, they need salt.
Yes,
oh, and
definitely.
Then they need oregano. So this oregano comes from Sicily, and if you look at it, it's still on the branch. So, you know, it's not like it's been ground into powder or anything. Smell that.
Oh, it's sweet.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
I think it's pungent too, don't you?
It's pungent, but it has a sweet dimension
mm-hmm.
that you don't get in certain other dried oregano.
I'm not even sure what our oregano probably comes from. Mexico? Is that where
Well, you can get Mexican, Greek,
okay.
Italian. I mean,
right.
there's a lot of different
right.
ones you can get. You can dry it yourself.
Right.
This is really lovely.
Isn't it nice? Yeah. So you'd add some salt. I don't add olive oil to the tomato sauce. Put some oregano in it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a thin wheel, you know, like a spoon, and then you kind of swirl it around. The tomatoes shouldn't be so thick that you can't see through them, still see the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like to tear the mozzarella di bufala by hand. They say if you cut it that the – because it's stretched.
You're breaking the fiber. You're messing
right.
up the
and
fibers.
Then the
you're
water,
stopping their natural
the,
action.
That's right. And then the yeah. water escapes more readily, whereas if you tear them, they hold water better.
Mm-hmm.
And then the part I think is really interesting is that olive oil is one of the huge flavor components of a great pizza.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use bad olive oil.
You
can't not use olive oil because that's – you know, then you're just really missing mm-hmm. something. But you can't even use bad olive oil. So, yeah, you use an oil can.
Mm-hmm. And you know, put it on before you cook?
Yes.
Or after? Okay.
Yes. And, in fact, the description of pizza Napolitana, we translated the government document for
uh-huh.
pizza Napolitana. It's very funny. And it talks about how the tomatoes, the olive oil, and the cheese all fuse.
Ah, so there's an alchemy that goes on. I see.
Yeah. So the olive oil. And you can taste it. Literally, for your friends, you could cook a pizza with no olive oil and then one with just a super, you know, a region-specific Italian olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
You can taste the difference.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And then you put it. When you're putting it in the brick oven, so you
mm-hmm.
make this.
Right.
And are you making it directly, because it's very thin,
mm-hmm.
are you making it directly onto a pizza paddle?
Two schools of thought.
Okay.
The restaurants all have marble slabs, and they make them on a work surface.
Okay.
And then the pizza peels,
the Italian peels. That's the metal one, the nice thin metal one.
The aluminum, yeah. And they're aluminum because aluminum is slidey. It's real slippery.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of lift up one little edge of the flap and then a little bit of flour, no cornmeal. And then you slide under the pizza and then essentially that's the pudding peel. It's an aluminum peel that puts the pizza in the hot brick oven.
Pudding, not pudding.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
No, I mean, I was asking.
Exactly.
I wasn't correcting.
Correct. Right. And then there's a round peel. It's very small. It's only 8 inches round,
uh-huh.
and it's steel. See, aluminum gets very hot, So you don't actually want an aluminum peel hanging around inside this really hot oven. You want a steel one. And the steel one has a glide, and it's round. So that, and that's how you operate the pizza in the oven. So you turn it once. You know, it gets real dark on one side.
So you turn it after once. Like 60 seconds or something?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And then in the bigger ovens, even the ones people put in their backyards, people put 43-inch ovens in their backyards. That's a 5-6 pizza at a time oven. So you've got this you know, friends making them,
mm-hmm.
and then the guy operating the oven is putting them in the oven and turning them, and you're getting all these pizzas flowing through this pizza party in your backyard brick oven.
Yum! You are making me so hungry. Don't you wish you had a pizza slice right now? I certainly do. But we have some buffalo mozzarella buffalo. I'm going to take a little bite here. Thank you so much for bringing this, James.
Yeah, I should have brought olive oil. Mm. You can, you know, drizzle a little olive oil.
Really, that's really good.
Yeah.
It's got a little more acidity.
Definite tang.
Than what you find made here.
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. I don't know. I think there's – can you buy – I
oh,
think
yeah,
there is.
Got,
you can buy mozzarella di bufala here. They have some.
Oh, definitely.
Some buffaloes.
Yeah. We've got no. Actually, can't buy the real thing. That's one of the problems. And there was a place, I think it was Fairbank Farms in Cowichan Valley on Vancouver Island, and this is a story for another time, really, because it's a story about international politics and the sort of bullying power of the United States government. But this wonderful couple brought over. I think they brought over 42 or 38. They brought over a number of water buffalo.
Right.
And through a long series of misfortunes and court decisions, the United States forced all of the animals that had been brought into directly imported had to be killed, including this very sweet one named Olive that I bonded with. It was an interesting story. There was no mad cow disease involved, and in fact, that's a species that doesn't get
mad cow.
Anyway. Aww. So we don't have anyone in North America that I know of who is making true buffalo mozzarella
right.
at this point. So you get people who are making a mozzarella fresca.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, but that tang is just unmistakable.
Really, yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. My kids can, you know.
How old are your kids now?
7 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you tried, you know, they've tried products side by side, and you know, even at a young age, kids can get a taste for these things.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now back to the tomatoes. Yeah. They're Strianese.
Strianese. It's a brand.
Strianese. It's a brand. And Forno Bravo's selling it.
That's right. Yes, we through our we kind of worked our way upstream through the mill in Naples. We mm-hmm. met big wholesale importers who mm-hmm. were dealing with the Caputo flour, and then they sort of introduced us on to various people. So we just sort of thought it would be I had trouble finding all of these things, mm-hmm. and I wanted them, and I just thought mm-hmm. that other people would. This is Nancy asked, so you can buy them through Forno Bravo at our e-store. And if you're in Sonoma County, you just call and make an appointment and swing by and pick mm-hmm. things up. But what amazed me was that we put our e-store up and, finished it on a, let's say, a Friday. I ran the first test order through, for myself. I bought, mm-hmm. Five bags of pizza flour. Came in on Saturday morning and just to see what was going on with the store. And we had orders.
Really?
The next morning.
That fast.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we're shipping pizza flour and tomatoes and olive oil and oregano all over the states.
That was going to be my next question. You are selling the Sicilian oregano.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's
cool stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that is really good.
Yeah.
Now, you're also going to be getting in some cookware, right?
That's yeah.
Like some ceramic, or I don't know, is
it's
it cookware?
Terracotta.
Or terracotta.
Yeah, it's terracotta.
Okay.
So this is an old favorite of mine.
Oh.
We bought this 5 years ago.
This has a beautiful from the deep green finish.
That's right. From the company that we're now buying from. We bought this, literally bought it on vacation 5 years ago. So now you see what they look like after 5 years.
Still gorgeous.
And we had a lot of it when we were over there. Didn't want to ship it all back with our, you know, household goods. We just, mm-hmm. you know, gave it to friends. But once we got back, we sort of missed having it. So we got in touch with the producer, and yeah, we bought a whole, you know, big pallet of this stuff, and it's coming to Sonoma now.
Okay, so hasn't arrived yet,
uh-huh. But we'll be selling it in the next 3-4 weeks.
Okay, so it will be arriving
all sorts
soon.
Of sizes and shapes, and it is this terracotta bakeware. It's glazed, you know, lead free and all that, but it's kiln fired very hot, so that it does real well in a brick oven.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of very hot and doing well in a brick oven, not everyone can put in, realistically. There are people who can't put in brick ovens because they live in high rises in Manhattan,
right.
Or a whole variety of things. And we haven't even gotten to, do you have to get a permit to do it? We won't go there.
We have a permitted oven in Healdsburg City.
Cool.
Yeah.
But I mean, if somebody wants to put it in their house, you know, but like I
said,
we won't go there.
Okay.
What about pizza?
I'm a huge fan of pizza stones.
Pizza stones. Because what I've always done, because they're cheap and easy, and
yep.
they all break anyway. You buy the $30 or $40 ones at a cookware store, and they break. They're really thin. If you go down to Lower Santa Rosa Avenue and get an unglazed Mexican paver style
right.
for $1.49, you can go through a few of those, and you know, not a problem. But now you're doing
splits in my oven. You know, uh-huh. a little half-high fire brick, and uh-huh. you know, lining the inside of my oven drove my wife crazy. You know, I would literally like take a bag of fire bricks with me to go to other people's house, you know, and put the fire bricks in their oven just to see how their oven would behave, you know, uh-huh. with fire bricks in it. But no, we actually did find a company that makes a very nice pizza stone. So, I mean, we're getting into that as well. Mm-hmm. It's 3/4 inch thick. It's made by the company that makes the hearths that the commercial electric pizza ovens use.
Mm-hmm.
So it's commercial. It's commercial grade stuff, and it comes with a 10-year warranty.
So,
and I've cracked so many pizza stones. So it just seemed like a good idea.
Uh-huh.
So we're just getting into that,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually starting to do some experiments. I'm using my infrared gun, and, mm-hmm. and I'm testing how quickly pizza stones heat up.
How high will they go in a standard kitchen?
Here's an interesting thing that I just found is that you look at your recipe books and they say put your pizza stone in your oven and preheat it for 30 minutes and then you're ready to cook pizza. Well, after 30 minutes, your oven, the air circulating around in your oven is 550. After 30 minutes, your pizza stone is 350 degrees.
Really?
You can't cook anything at 350 degrees. So if nothing else, you know, I learned, wow, you really have to get your pizza stone in your oven, set your oven to 550, and give it an hour,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really get hot. Because the whole point is you're trying to get as close as you can to a real brick oven mm-hmm. environment in your house. And that's where I started. That's, mm-hmm. you know, I started off making bread on pizza stones, and then I built a hobby brick oven in mm-hmm. my backyard. And it sort of went from there. And I think for most people who really get into it, it often starts with a great pizza, and then saying, "How can I do this?"
Yeah, you have a great piece of pizza, and if you can't get back to where you had it, you know, the next thing you know, you're learning out
yourself.
How to use cement.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now you recommend, if I read your press release right, you recommend having two pizza stones in your oven for reflective, or that's reflective isn't the right word.
Well, if you think about the way a brick oven works, you've always got a fire going mm-hmm. in the oven, and you're having heat bouncing down from, basically you're cooking above and below at the mm-hmm. same time. So yeah, I think a lot, we're experimenting with a lot of techniques for how high you set the second pizza stone mm-hmm. in a conventional oven so that you still have airflow, but that it holds a lot of heat and gets you that the top down heat that pizza and a lot of other foods. A lot of foods really like top and mm-hmm. bottom heat.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that really benefit from that style?
Exactly. Okay. So one, in fact, I'm going to grab another toy.
Okay. Oh boy, I love this box of tricks.
So, well, you know, brick ovens, golf, all the, you know, good hobbies have good toys, good accessories, right? So, okay, so what? You know what that is. You know what that is?
Isn't this a Tuscan grill?
That's a Tuscan grill, yeah.
I don't have one. They're fabulous.
So this is cast iron. What does it weigh? 11 pounds, 12 pounds? It's a
Yeah.
It's a heavy little guy.
I think it might be 15 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. It's so grilling is one of those things that really benefits from top and bottom heat. So you put one of those in a brick oven with a steak or a chop or salmon.
Oh, in the brick oven.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people will put these into a home fireplace.
Fireplace,
exactly. Because they just really want that cooking experience.
Exactly, exactly. So, or a butterfly chicken, chicken diavolo.
Oh, yes,
Marinate it, butterfly it. Now, picture that, you know, this is cast iron.
It's going
to
get
put
really
in a brick oven. It's going to get real hot. So you'll get great sear marks. And then you put that in the brick oven. And then it's that's all those things we talked about before. High heat. Moist heat, heat that's circulating. It's just a great, you know, your chicken won't dry out, your steak won't dry out. So yeah, grilling, of all things, grilling is something that really benefits from a brick oven.
Now, I've cooked a lot of vegetables in brick ovens.
Definitely.
They seem to do really beautifully too.
Definitely. One of the fun things, now if you go back to the terracotta pan, one
okay,
of the things you can
you
do in a brick
that?
Oven
okay.
is layered cooking.
Oh, okay.
So picture a ratatouille in this, where you'll do onions and olive oil and garlic in the bottom.
So then, you would put that in and then put it in the oven for a while.
And it's so hot.
Okay.
You know, your
gotcha.
Onions are soft and brown and bubbling, you know, 2 minutes, right? And then you would layer in your eggplants until they're brown. And then you'd layer in zucchinis or peppers until they're brown. And then you'd put the tomatoes in, put a top on it, and just let it steep away for a while. I mean, it makes a ratatouille unlike, you know, anything you would have.
Yeah, that sounds right. And it also sounds, to a large degree, simpler.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You're
not, there's not a lot of pans involved. You know, you've got everything sort of staged. If it's indoors or outdoors, you kind of got everything staged. And you put stuff in it and put it back in. Go do something else. Take it back out. Top's brown.
How does fish do?
Well, fish is just the best. I mean, that's
Well, let's say because, you know, we're coming up in a couple months. It's going to be wild salmon season.
Okay, so salmon. So you could, you could grill it on the Tuscan grill. You could put a cast iron grill pan in the oven. Gets real hot, sits on the floor, and you could put the salmon directly on that. Great sear marks, cooks through, real moist on the inside. You could just simply put salmon with olive oil and some herbs in a terracotta pan in a less hot oven and just let it roast. And then there's a layered way of doing salmon that's just super. You can, with it, kind of the way you do your vegetables, you could do onions and garlic in the bottom and then salmon on top of that. And then, you know, maybe mushrooms and olive oil and mustard on top of that. You know, take it out and do a arugula on top of that. And you end up with sort of these really great sort of like layered fish dish.
I've had, I was actually cooking with a friend, really great chef, Ray Tang, and he finished Dungeness crab in a wood burning oven. I mean, he'd cooked and cleaned it
first.
But then had some butter, thyme, garlic, lemon, and just popped it into the brick oven. Oh man, it was really fabulous.
Isn't that what they say about fish? It's like the hotter, the faster, the moister is what fish likes, right?
You just want it quick.
Don't want to dry it out.
Yeah. Slow, nah. Not when it, I don't think when it comes to fish. I know down at Della Fattoria, at least, and I think they still do this for a while. You know Della Fattoria, and they bake their breads, and then as things were cooling off, they would cook their pastries.
Yeah.
In that, as it gets down, like, I guess, under 400 degrees.
Yeah, well, even below 400, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a pastry chef by personal experience.
Yeah, I don't eat many pastries, but a lot of people like them.
I'm a bread guy. But I think it is the same sort of, I think it's the same premise, delicate heat.
Uh-huh.
And people talk about it, that it's a really nice way of using the heat as the oven, as the oven falls.
Okay, well, we're going to take one more musical break, and then what we're going to do is talk about some of the mechanics of what it actually takes to get your brick oven built in your backyard. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for sticking with me, my guest this evening. It is James Barry of Forno Bravo. Check out fornobravo.com. We're talking about everything to do with really good pizza and how to get it. And clearly, the easiest way is to have a really good friend who comes over and installs a brick oven at your house. So tell us what it takes.
Okay.
First of all, you have to buy something.
Okay.
You have to buy a few things.
This is true. Now, but you know, it's even okay. So have I told you that we have plans on fornobravo.com to build a brick oven by hand, one brick at a time? And we have a user group of people who do it, and they talk to each other. And it's people who put our ovens that they bought and cooks and a lot of very interested people. But as of now, I looked up the other day. We've had them built in Sweden, Belgium, Australia, Mexico, New Zealand, the Caribbean, and Canada, and all around the United States. Who are people who have
your Forno Bravo ovens?
The brick oven? The brick oven plans.
Oh, really?
And the plans are free.
Uh huh.
It's like open source software. It's copyrighted, but it's free. It's all published on the internet. So if you have a lot of time and you're really handy, you can build a brick oven in your backyard. Just for the cost of the bricks and the mortars, and we're doing it honestly. You know, to grow the community. Uh-huh. And I mean, somebody puts one in and he tells a friend and, you know, the community gets bigger and the community gets bigger.
It's bigger, yeah.
So I think that's important that a lot of this is about education and community. And I don't know. You know, this idea that there's so many brick ovens in Italy and the south of France and so few here in the States, and that there's a long way to, you know, a real long way to go.
And it's also something, just having it takes you to another level of community.
You know,
cooking in one is a communal effort, and it's a really nice communal effort. It's just a very, very pleasant thing to do.
And interesting people are attracted to brick ovens, right? So the community is an interesting bunch of people.
There's one option.
That's one option.
Bricks and mortar.
Yeah. Bricks, mortar, a lot of sweat equity, a lot of time, a lot, you know, months, many, many months. People work real hard on these things. For most people, you buy an oven from us. It's a kit. They are made they're made in Italy. We import them directly here to Northern California in, you know, big full container loads. Mm-hmm. And there's a warehouse and a showroom of ovens behind Home Depot, right off the 101, off Shiloh.
Right.
So that's officially where the showroom and the warehouse is. Mm-hmm. And people from Northern California just drive up and put them in the back of a pickup truck or a minivan or whatever, and essentially the process is that you build a concrete block base, you pour a concrete hearth, that's the horizontal part. So you've made a table.
Okay.
It insulates. It's not just concrete.
Now you put that where?
The finished floor of the oven is typically between 38 and 42 inches high.
Okay, so you have to have something on which it sits.
And that's my table. That's the hearth.
Okay.
Yeah,
so you have from the ground until
concrete
you get to
blocks.
The hearth.
Okay, I start off with a patio. Let's say I have a patio. Mm-hmm. And I build a stand out of concrete blocks.
Okay.
I go to Home Depot and I get a bunch of concrete blocks and I stack them up in a U.
Okay.
And I fill every other hole with concrete, and I've got this stable platform.
Okay.
Then I put some wooden forms up. I pour a concrete and an insulating hearth. Okay. So now I've got a stand. It's a stand.
Okay.
So I've got my horizontal part, and I've got my legs. At that point, I take my kit, which comes in anywhere from 7 to 12, 13 pieces. As the ovens get bigger, they come in more pieces. Yeah, a 1,200-pound oven has got 12 pieces. Okay. A 900-pound oven has 9 pieces, essentially. Uh-huh. They're broken down into manageable 100-pound pieces. The material that they're made out of is really important. The company that makes them is a large industrial company that have kind of come up with this perfect pizza oven material, Refrattario Aluminoso. Very important. That's why they heat up in 40, 45 minutes. It's an engineering product. This is like new world meets old world. You know, brick oven design is 2,000 years old, but the material that goes in them and the insulators that are used to keep all the heat inside the oven, dead rocket science. Microfine extruded alumina and silica with binders tempered to 2,000 degrees, all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's a lot of engineering in your backyard pizza oven now that wasn't there, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I assemble my oven. I mortar the whole thing together. I hook up a chimney. I wrap it in this insulating blanket. It's called Insulfrax. It's this really cool stuff. It temperature resistant to 2,000 degrees. Just keeps all the heat that's generated by the fire. It keeps it in the oven. It keeps it from leaking out.
Okay.
You know,
gotcha.
Either down or sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm done. I can fire my oven. I can cure it. I can cook. I'm done.
Oh, really?
Now I need to do an enclosure around it. I need to weatherproof it. Uh-huh. I want it to look nice. I want a brick arch. I want this.
I want
a granite landing. I want a little refrigerator.
Yeah, you
want
to do
sink,
a little crucifix and pretty tiles.
Gargoyles. We got a guy with a gargoyle at the top
of his
vent. I want a
gargoyle.
Yeah, exactly. But the core function. Okay, so the funny story is that I wanted to see how fast this could be done. So I went to my local Italian equivalent of Home Depot called Leroy Merlin and outside of Florence. The company that makes the ovens that we sell are sold by the equivalent of an Italian Home Depot, which I think is really funny. They sell pizza ovens right next to barbecues, right? They're like the same kind of a beast. I got the whole thing into the back of my Passat station wagon. I drove it home, and I had it assembled, installed, and fired in a weekend.
Wow. Cool.
Now, I've done it before.
Yes, you've done it before.
But as an order of magnitude, and I took a whole bunch of photographs of the process. The photographs are all up on the website. It's called the Firenze Oven. And I was just, you know, you and I were talking, you know, offline, but that's the oven that I used to cook for everybody who came out.
Yeah.
And I met chefs and I met, you know, serious pizza people and, you know, food cooking school people. And that was the oven that we used. So, I mean, I just think it goes to show, I said I did it to kind of take the mystery out and the fear out. Uh-huh. I just wanted to see, could you put it in the back of a station wagon? Could you? And I did it by myself.
You did it by yourself.
I did it by myself. I had no tools. We were in a rental house.
You had no tools?
No tools. I did it with cardboard and tape instead of wood and saws. And it was absolutely. Then there's photographs of the entire process. And the oven, it's still there. The people that we rented the house from was thrilled that we left it. We left it behind. And so to me, it was like, you know, take the mystery out, take the fear out. You know, is this thing going to take 6 months? It's like, no. Yeah, you can do it.
You can do it. That is great. So you don't even have to borrow somebody's pickup truck. You can just do it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've got a neighbor, it's a lot easier. And, you know, if you have a builder, people do it in pairs, teams.
Sure.
But yeah, and then if you want to do a big, beautiful outdoor kitchen, then it gets bigger and
yeah,
it gets bigger.
Yeah, you can. I mean, outdoor kitchens are fabulous.
And
if
they
you
can
have
get
running
as,
water.
They're like indoor kitchens. They get as big as you want them to be. But if you just want to pizza oven that works and functions and is just great, it's really not that hard.
Yeah. So if you want to get the plans for the brick oven, you just go to www.fornobravo.com.
That's right.
You can look at the pictures of James making his oven. You can see all of the various products and ingredients that you can buy there. Mm-hmm. So fornobravo.com. If you live or are coming to Sonoma County, what is the phone number?
It's 707-836-0105.
That's area code 707-836-0105.
Yeah.
And you're there off Shiloh Road. And people can't just stop by. They have to make an appointment.
Exactly.
And so you will give them directions when they do make that appointment.
Absolutely. And we have a demonstration kitchen on our in our house at Chalk Hill Road. And people can come by and see
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we can cook, we can share, we can talk, we can...
Cool. And one of these days, we are going to do a cookbook together.
Exactly.
I can't wait.
People ask for one all the time.
Well, we need to talk, and we will talk. Okay, thanks for tuning in, and next week, what's happening? I think we're going to be talking about wine with several different guests, so I will see you then.
Local presentation of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour, is made possible in part by the Press Democrat, your local newspaper for over 148 years and 2004 winner of the George Polk Award. The Press Democrat, bringing you news that's important to your life. And from Tandem Winery, celebrating...